Like I said, welcome to our Good Friday communion service. Today I'm going to kind of give you a look at the cross from the perspective of three different people. We're here today to worship. Today we join with our brothers and sisters around the world to remember what may have been the darkest hour in human history. It certainly was the darkest afternoon because of God's word tells us that the darkness covered the land from noon until 3 in the afternoon. 12th hour to the 9th hour. 9th hour to the 6th hour to the 9th hour, sorry. That the epicenter of that darkness was the cross of Jesus Christ. Out of that darkness would come the light of the world. Who could have imagined that the great wrath that was poured out from the hand of God as Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Who could imagine that the great love that was shown for us when Jesus begged on our behalf, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who could have imagined the triumphant ending to this malicious and cruel execution as Jesus, with victory roaring from his dry, parched throat and swollen lips, it is finished. And into his hands, into your hands I commit my spirit. Yes, it's because of those words that followers of Christ from Ukraine to Uganda, from Peru to Pakistan, from China to Chile, from Canada to Cameroon, from Korea to Kenya, and from America to Australia, we gather together on Good Friday. For in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. The events of Good Friday have made us all one in Christ Jesus. We are all invited to come to the foot of the cross. We will share in the experience of those who were there at the cross today, so that we might be reminded of what Jesus did on our behalf. Everybody knows this Easter season, I always watch The Passion of the Christ. I think my wife's first time making it through the movie was last year, and not without a box of tissues. But we're going to take a look at the Roman soldier who took part in the crucifixion. We're going to look at Mary Magdalene and her view. And I'm going to introduce you to somebody who was there at the raising of Lazarus from the dead and also at the cross, and kind of get a perspective maybe you haven't seen before. Let me introduce you to the woman who witnessed Lazarus's resurrection from the dead and was simply passing by when she saw the crucifixion. The woman who was passing by, she said, I was there. It was just a week or so ago, and I was there when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. You really had to be there to believe it. I was so scared, she said, when Lazarus spoke for the first time after coming out of that tomb. Some people took off running the moment he came out. A dead man actually came to life all because Jesus said his name. And then I knew then and there that Jesus Christ had to be the Messiah, the Son of God. He wasn't the least bit afraid of Lazarus, you see. I don't know if I could have sat there and talked with a dead man the way that I saw Jesus talking to Lazarus. I couldn't wait, she said, to get home so that I could tell others what I'd seen. Some of the people didn't believe me, but that didn't bother me. Some of them wanted to tell me, had to tell the story over and over and over again, trying to relive the moment through me. It was nice kind of being the celebrity for a few moments. People were saying as I walked down the street, there's the woman that was there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And I saw it all. I smiled as I walked down the street, knowing I was being looked at with awe and wonder. But that was all last week. I just couldn't believe my eyes when I came back from my sister's house near Bethlehem. There was a lot of confusion, commotion, and a crowd of people around three crosses. I got to the spot where I could see above the crowd, and that's when I realized that the guy on the middle cross looked a lot like Jesus. I had to get closer to the cross to make sure and to find out if it was him. You see, the face was all battered and bruised, and there was blood covering parts of his beard. There was a crown of thorns that someone had pushed on his head, and it was just awful. Don't ask me how I did it, but I pushed through the crowd, and I was at the cross of Jesus. Even in the ugliness of it all, she said, when I looked into his eyes, I saw nothing but grace and love. I couldn't help but wonder, why didn't he do something? Surely if he can call a dead man to life, then he could speak to the nails in his hands and feet, and they would just come out of the wood and release him from the cross. The longer I stood at the cross, the more I realized that he was up there for me. He was taking my place for the sins that I had done. He was the righteous one paying for the penalty of the unrighteous. Seeing Jesus' miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead was one thing. Finding him as my Savior at the cross was something different altogether. It was truly at the cross where I first saw the light and had my burdens rolled away. Second one we're going to talk about is the Roman soldier. I was a soldier, so I kind of know how this guy feels. I wasn't much of a religious person. I was just a Roman soldier, a long way from home, just doing my job. I can't say that I ever really got used to all that that takes place before somebody getting a body ready for crucifixion. Many of those condemned people that are condemned to be crucified never even make it to a cross. You see, it begins with a whipping. We would tie a person's hands and arms in such a way that they would not get in the way of the executioner's whip. If you were lucky, you were tied to a tree. That way only your back would be exposed to the leather whip and the straps that had pieces of bone and metal tied to it. And the first blow would tear into your skin, but then the whip, when it was pulled back, would rip out your flesh. For those poor souls that were tied up with their arms outstretched towards the branches of a tree, it was worse. The whip could wrap itself around your back and your sides and your belly. And that was torture as your body spun around each time the executioner pulled back his arm to prepare the whip for another round of beatings. Some men looked like pieces of bloody meat, waiting to be chopped up and sold in the marketplace by the time that the beating was done. Then there was the carrying of the cross to the place of execution. Many men collapsed under the weight of carrying their crosses, have been exhausted from being previously beaten. Once at the place, they would be laid on the cross, and nails would be driven through their hands and feet, and leather or rope tied around their wrists. They would then be hoisted up with ropes, and the bottom of those ropes would go, bottom of the cross would go into a hole in the ground, and there they stayed until they died. I'd heard about this Jesus of Nazareth, but to me he was just another man being crucified. I was surprised by some of the things I heard him say while he was on the cross, as I stood guarding him and the other two. He promised one guy life in another kingdom. He asked some guy to look after his mother when he was gone. He talked at times as though he were talking to God in the sky. I really began to take notice when it got dark at noon. I knew something different was happening here. People were challenging him to come down from the cross, but it looked as though he pitied them, as though they were the ones losing out on something. I felt better when the darkness lifted around 3 o'clock. And then Jesus was dying when he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." He just sort of gasped and gave up his life and died as though he could have done it at any point in the process. And I was confused. It was like we didn't end his life. It's way more that he voluntarily gave it up. Then I heard my boss, the centurion, praise God and say, surely this man was the Son of God. I didn't even know the centurion was religious. At that point, I felt overwhelmed with my sin. I didn't know what to do. I was in utter despair for hours as I watched him hanging dead on the cross. Then came the order to break the legs of the men on the cross to make them die more quickly. But Jesus was already dead. The soldier sent to break his legs broke the legs of the other two, but he saw that Jesus was already dead. And to make sure that Jesus was dead, a spear was punctured Jesus' side, and out came a rush of water and blood. The moment some of the blood of Jesus' blood splattered on me, I felt different. I felt cleansed. I felt forgiven. All of those things I had seen and witnessed, it was the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that convinced me to become his follower. When people ask me and they say, how did a Roman soldier who helped crucify the man become a follower of a Jewish Messiah? I tell them, I know it was the blood. And one day when I was lost, he died upon a cross, and I know it was the blood that saved me. Next part is probably the most known, Mary Magdalene. Mary. I never fully understood what grace was until one day when my path intersected with Jesus of Nazareth. Before then, you would have been terrified of me. You would have not wanted to even be around me if you knew who I was. Some fools thought that they could tame me, and they paid for their mistake with their lives. I had 7 different demons inside of me, controlling my thoughts and my actions. Oh, I could have been very beautiful to gaze upon with your eyes, but trust me, it would have all been a deception. I could have easily slit your throat with a knife with a smile on my face just for the fun of it, or blinded you with a red-hot metal stake from the fireplace, poked into your eyes, searing them shut forever, just so I could hear you scream. It would not have bothered me in the least bit in terms of conscience, because I had none. Demonic power is real, it's evil, and it's ugly. But then I ran into Jesus, and he cleansed me and he cast out all the demons. And having been set free by grace and mercy, I vowed then and there that I would live and I would die for him. Wherever he went, I was more than willing to go. I had no idea that I would be following him to the scene of a crucifixion. I never imagined that it would be his own crucifixion. That day was a dark, demonic day. If you had been there, you may have sensed the battle going on between the forces of light and darkness. The more Satan tried to torture and torment Jesus, the more grace just kept flowing out of my Lord and Savior. They hurled insults at him, yet he kept quiet. They laughed as they nailed his hands and feet, yet he did not complain. They challenged him to prove that he was the Son of God by taking himself down from the cross so that they might believe. Yet he stayed up there to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He would not come down because his blood had not yet been poured out upon the earth for the forgiveness of our sins. His grace had not been released yet in the fullness of his power. Watching him die on the cross was one of the most difficult moments of my life. Yet I knew there was the cleansing that he had done in me, and that was not going to change. I didn't need to fear the return of the demons. I knew that if I heard the words, or when I heard the words, "It is finished," that Jesus was reassuring me that he had won the victory over Satan and his plans for my life. I once was lost, but now I have been found. I will always remember that his body was broken and his blood was shed for me. Oh, what boundless, amazing grace. If you would, take the hymnal in front of you and turn to hymn number 343. Hymn number 343. And if you'd stand with me, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. Deacons are going to come forward and they're going to start passing out communion. You can have your seats and put your hymnals away. I want to talk about, the day before today, Thursday. What was going on with Jesus? What was going on with the disciples? We talked about Mary Magdalene, the view that she had, and of course, the Roman soldiers that had to be there for the crucifixion, they didn't have a choice. They were ordered to go, and they were ordered to do what they did. And then the bystanders, men, women, innocent people that had just came into Jerusalem in order to celebrate the Passover. Each person... It takes 10 people to eat the Paschal lamb. So families would get together. They would take a lamb and they would have to keep it inside the house for a whole month. A baby lamb. They would have to keep it in the house. A lot. They'd pet it and feed it and take care of it for a whole month. And then when the Paschal dinner happened, it was dad's job to go outside and end that little tiny lamb's life. And mom's job was to cook it. Just to understand the fact that the payment for sins wasn't cheap. But on this night, on this day, it wasn't a lamb. When Jesus came into town on Good Friday, it was the day that they selected the lambs. It was selection day. They would go through them, inspect them, and make sure that they were perfect in order to be sacrificed. And that's the same day that Jesus came into Jerusalem on Good Friday, or on Palm Sunday. So they selected the lambs, the ones that they were going to sacrifice, and the disciples all got together to eat dinner. And Jesus had some very, very few instructions for them. One was, love each other as I have loved you, right? I mean, that was one command. That's important to me because I think that we need to do our best to make sure that we not only love God, but we love each other and we love the lost. And he said that
He wanted to spend this last part of time with them because he said, I'm not going to eat this meal or drink this cup until I'm with you guys again, which is what we look forward to. We look forward to Christ's return. We are focused today on that black cloth that's draped around that cross over there. It's not purple. Today's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we look forward to it, and I'm looking forward to it, but today is the day when Jesus suffered all those things that we talked about just a few minutes ago. That he was whipped, he was beaten, he was tried, he was, you know, betrayed. That he had to drag a cross and was nailed to it. And he spent all that time hanging on the cross for us, for you and me. And tonight, the idea behind the Good Friday Communion service is worship. Worshiping Jesus Christ for what he did for us on the cross. He was allowed 2,000 years ago. I mean, how much of a difference does that make to me? It makes all the difference in the world on how you look at what Christ did for you on that cross. At the cross, that's where my burdens were lifted and the stone was rolled away. For us, for you and me. You know, Paul, he's probably kicking himself. Paul was. Because he wasn't there at the Last Supper. He didn't get to spend all that time with Jesus. But on the road to Damascus, he ran face to face with Jesus. And he explains a few things to Paul over the next few days while he was blind, laying in bed. And Paul got the message. And Paul passed the message on to the believers in Corinth. See, they were really messing up. They weren't doing communion right. It was more like I'm not sharing, that kind of thing. And it wasn't very family-like. Those who had, they were partying over there. And those who didn't have, they'd be sitting off to the side with soup and crackers, you know. These guys over here just hooping it up. Paul says, listen, you got this all wrong. You want to get drunk? Do it at home. You want to party? Do it at home. When you come here, it's all about what Christ did for us on the cross. And he says, I'm going to give to you now what was given to me by Jesus Christ. On the same day which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember what Christ did on the cross. You know, those people I talked about, Mary Magdalene, the Roman soldier, the woman who had went through and seen Lazarus be raised from the dead, all those people were under the old covenant. The old covenant being you're going to be treated as your sins deserve. No matter how you behave. If you were good, then, you know, hey, we'll treat you good. If you were a bad guy, like the people that were crucified on both sides of Jesus, it wasn't the era of grace. It was the era of the Ten Commandments, the law. But now we have grace. We have that new covenant in Jesus' blood. In other words, he had to die in order for this new covenant to take place. In the Old Testament, they used to take an animal, a bull or whatever, and they cut it right down the middle. And they would put both halves on both sides. And the people who were making the covenant would walk in between. And that was saying, if I break this covenant, I wish that this, what happened to this bull would happen to me. But see, sometimes there was, like with Moses and with Abraham, sometimes there was a covenant where a deep sleep would fall upon Abraham or Moses and just God would go through. That meant that the responsibility for keeping that covenant was up to God, not on man. And this new covenant, this covenant in Jesus' blood, was all on God. Our only part was believing. All we had to do was believe it. To trust that Jesus Christ had our hearts and our futures and all that stuff in mind when he went to the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured death, even death on the cross. What was that joy? That joy was you sitting here taking communion on Good Friday, remembering what he did on that cross. Paul said to the Corinthians, after they passed the bread around, he says, he took the cup and he passed it around, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. This do in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let's remember the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's close. Let's close in prayer. And let's keep Christ in our hearts until we meet back here again Sunday, when that cloth turns from black to purple and the stone is rolled away. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to come here together with my church family to celebrate your sacrifice on the cross. Because that sacrifice was for me, and it was for every person sitting in this room. Lord, we just ask you to touch our hearts and minds to keep your sacrifice before us. Because today is Friday, but Sunday's coming. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. Go with God.